Praise the Lord. What a good time of worship we have. What a wonderful time to be able to just sing those words over and over again. I never get tired of worshiping the Lord Jesus. He's a good God, isn't he? Wow. Well, I had a little difficulty with this sermon this morning. I prepared it probably Wednesday morning and was working on it since then. And for some reason yesterday, the iCloud erased it. Now, if you could understand the work that goes into that, you would just like, let's say, what just happened? And it was just gone. Couldn't find it anywhere. And that almost, well, never happens. So I called Apple support. I'm an Apple fan. and I have Apple One support, so they're supposed to be right there. Well, they do now. We have a callback system for those kinds of calls. So I said, well, I'm going to be out this afternoon at a party, so they're not going to be able to get me until after 9 o'clock yesterday evening. So I said, okay, 9 o'clock Saturday evening. We get out. I got out early at the party, and so I went home, and the call was waiting for me already, 8 o'clock. And she was very helpful. Now, that doesn't always happen either. sometimes you get support, and they, if they're from Ireland, you can barely understand how they're, what they're saying. Because they're speaking English, they don't really care too much. You have to adapt to them, right? So, but anyway, she was very good and worked through this. What was happening was that my iCloud was not updating. So I would change something in the sermon and it wouldn't update. So I went back and I said, sync with the iCloud. And when I synced it, that's when it disappeared. So I did it all over again and I did the same thing and it disappeared again. I said, this is not fun. So I explained to her that this is a sermon for today, and this has to get done tonight. And she understood immediately. She said, I can tell you're a man of, what's the word she used, integrity, and you'll see this through, and so will we. So within about a half an hour, we had it working. She didn't really understand, or did I understand, what was going on. They had updated the software of both the MacBook and the iPhones that day. So it was just a glitch in the update process because when we did it again, it was working fine. So I have it. It was lost in the cloud, and now it's back. Oh, Lord God. So it was Isaiah 43. And to make it more interesting, when I was at this graduation party, we were all just talking to a group of adults, and they wanted to know what I was doing. So I said, well, I'm going to be teaching tomorrow in Isaiah 43. So if you want to turn there, you can. And so what's it going to be about? So I tried to, like, divert the conversation, deflect it in one way, shape, or form. But they wanted to know the whole thing. And I said, well, I'll try to remember as much as I can. And so they all whipped out their phones and were, you know, in the Bible, and they were reading it. And so what about this? What about that? So that's what we're going to cover today. But isn't God is so good. He's a good God. I can remember, I'll try not to get too emotional about this, but when I had tonsillitis and they took out my tonsils, my parents had a present waiting for me at home, a little dog, a little puppy. We named him Mike. He's a like half German Shepherd something, beagle. And later on in his life, he had very bad mange, so they had to put him down. But while he was with me, he was mine. He belonged to me. And that's what the Lord starts out here. He says to the nation of Israel, and this really couples with what Donnie was sharing with us about how God relates to Israel and how God relates to us. And that's what a theme that we've been stressing over and over again. It's important to understand. Now, Bob Mumford, before I get into it, Bob Mumford used to say, the truth of things is not always one or the other. It could be both. So God does consider Israel his special people, but he also loves the church as his special people too. Not one or the other, but both. We don't have to abandon Israel, and we don't have to abandon the church and take on the laws of Israel and all the things that they do. I just wouldn't do that. But I don't have a problem with people worshiping the Lord with a prayer shawl. Oh, well. In fact, when I was in JFK a few months ago, it was like there was some Hasidic Jews worshiping the Lord, and they put on their prayer shawls and their yarmulkes and everything. And I was like, wow, that's kind of cool. We know, everybody in the airport knew they're praying to Almighty God. And they knew who they thought they were. So this is what, now when I get to heaven, Isaiah is one of my favorite books in the Bible, as many of you know. When I get to heaven, I've already booked a reservation to have coffee with Isaiah's mom. Why his mom? Well, the mother of this kid must have known a lot of things about what God was doing on the earth today and tomorrow. I don't know how Isaiah can speak in today and tomorrow like he does. He even doesn't even prophesy. He speaks as the Lord. Wow. It's like, wow. So he says this, verse 1. I finally got there. But now, says the Lord God, who created you, O Jacob, remember, I created you. And he who formed you, O Israel, created, formed, however you want to know it, I was the one. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have bought you back. Fear not. Take that fear the enemy is trying to put on you. Take that not belongingness and throw it away. You belong to the Lord because he bought you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. So he called each one of you. Now he can call you a lot of things, but he called you by your name. Now, there's another scripture that says he has given you a name that no one knows. You won't know it until you get to heaven. Isn't that great? You are mine. You belong to me. God's possessions are not easily taken from him. Do you think that's true? I don't think Satan has a prayer in any universe that he is going to win. Not happening. Not in this life or the one to come. Verse 2. Let me tell you, Isaiah says for the Lord, when you pass through the waters, that's, you know, we talked about the floods. Mercy is like a flood. We sang that song, that verse. And people know more about what that means now than they did last year. There have been a lot of floods. When a flood comes, there's no escaping it. Right, and I remember the governor of Jersey says, don't pretend like this is just a bad thing happening. This could kill you. A flood, don't try to drive through it. Back away. So when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Underline that, circle it, color it in. I will be with you. The one who called you is going to be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. See, we know about that now. When you walk through the fire, well, not just water, but fire, you shall not be burned. If your name is Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego, doesn't matter. You are you, and you will not be burned, O Israel, O Jacob. Nor shall the flame scorch you. I don't know. I pick up a plate too quickly from the microwave, I get burned. But God is protecting us from the schemes of the enemy, however they are formed and where they are. And there was an earthquake not too far from us, about 60 miles south of us, the last night. It was only magnitude 3, but still there. God makes his presence known on the earth. Verse 3. For I am the Lord your God. Not these things, not the fire, not the water. I am the Lord your God. There are civilizations that would worship the God of fire, the God of water and rain and whatever. But God says, no, I am the Lord your God. Wow. The Holy One of Israel. Remember him? Yeah, I'm he. Your Savior, the one who saves you. He has not given up that process when he went into the waters of baptism. He saved you from your old nature. He hasn't stopped doing that. He's still doing that. Now, here's an interesting verse, and I had to stop when I read this and said, what? You ever come to those scriptures? I said, what? He says, I gave Egypt for your ransom. What? What did he just say? Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Well, wait a minute. What? Did you have Egypt that you could trade Egypt for me? Well, you know, Egypt was worshiping all kinds of gods, and their sun god Ra was probably the best of their gods. But you know what? Jesus and the work of the Father could have changed their whole nation in an instant to worship the Lord God and Him only. And say, you know what, guys? It's not Ra. It's not even a cat or a mouse, whomever you want to worship. It's me, the Lord your God. And He could have taken Egypt just like that. And what a nation that would have been. Never mind the people of Israel, downcast, renegades almost, running from one nation to another. He could have taken Egypt. But He said, no, I traded Egypt for you. All of the things. Take the best nation in the world. I traded it for you. Whoa. At that point, fall down on your knees and worship the Lord, because that is an awesome thing. Egypt was the prize of the nations, of the civilizations. You know what? If they'd known about China, then he would have said, I traded China too. Verse 4. Since you were precious. Now that's the key word, precious. Who's precious? The Lord is precious to us. But here the Lord is saying, you were precious. When I traded for you, it's because my motivation is because you were precious in my sight. Just like my little puppy. He was precious. He was mine. I wasn't going to give him up. You have been honored. He's talking to Israel and Jacob. And I have loved you. Isn't that good? Not for tense. He loves them. I have loved you in past tense. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Now, in those days, it was not uncommon for nation to take slaves, whether they be Israel or anything. Every time a king would take over a town, he took for them the slaves of that town. The Vikings did it all the time. In fact, they would take the Slavic peoples and make them slaves. Hence where we got the word slave, Slavic. So it was not unusual. And here he's saying to them, to Israel, so therefore I will give them to you and people for your life. So they were servants to Israel. Wow. In other words, it's provision. And we would look at that today and say, well, that's not acceptable in our culture. No, it certainly isn't, thankfully. But it was in theirs. Verse 5. Fear not. He says it again. Fear not, for I am with you. But when you have somebody like God with you, not standing far off, but with you, I will bring your descendants from the east. I will gather you from the west. And this is the diaspora. So this is what we're talking about, the Lord restoring Israel. This is where these scriptures come from. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. You may have been scattered through whatever trials you've gone through, but I'm going to take you back. Verse 6, he says it. I will say to the north, give them up. I'll say to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth. Bring them back. Sometimes when we pray on Friday night, we pray for the prodigals. Bring them back. And I look at some that are missing here this morning. I said, bring them back. Why? Because they belong to the Lord. Then he shifts, in my opinion, to talking not to Israel, but to the church. Because he says in verse 7, clearly, everyone, not just Israel, Jacob, everyone who is called by my name, and that's a direct reference to Christians, who have created for my glory. So you weren't just created to be who you are as a natural man or a woman. You were created for the glory of God. I dare you to say that. I'm created for the glory of God. Because when you say that and confess it, things happen, sometimes more quickly than you want. He says, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. So this is not a reference to Jacob and Israel, but now he's talking about the church. I have done this. I'm going to skip to the end, all the way to John 12, and I'll talk about it again. One of my favorite scriptures, it says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. That's a reference to Romans 8. We have the right to be called children of God. You know, it's not a sect or some crazy religion. This is Christianity. This is the church. You have that if you receive him, you have the right to be called children of God. You're his kids. You belong to him, just like he said to Israel. Not either or, both. To those who believe in his name. You just have to believe. So this wasn't to Israel, to Jacob. This was to us. Who were born not of blood. Huh? Throwawayancestry.com. Sorry, Cheryl. But as much as you know about your DNA and your mitochondrial DNA and your parental DNA, as much as you know, that scripture says that you are not born of that or of the will of the flesh. Oh, my father really loved my mother, so that's why I was conceived. Nor the will of man, but you are born of God. That's what John 1, 12 and 13 say. Don't miss that. Don't miss it. I have made him. That's back to verse 7 in Isaiah 43. Now verse 8. Bring out the blind people. So he's not saying call from the earth, east and west, but now he says, bring out the blind who have eyes and the deaf who have ears. That's the Gentiles. That's people that have no clue what was going on. When the Vikings worshiped their gods, they didn't have a clue, you know, that Thor was not it, or Olaf, or anybody else. They didn't have a clue. All of their gods were nothing. But they had eyes, and they couldn't see. They had ears, but they were deaf. And he said, call on those guys. Now, the oldest wooden church in the world today is in Norway. And it's in perfect shape, because these guys knew how to build buildings and ships, obviously, with the wood that they had there. And they were devoted to Christ. When they converted to Christianity, they converted lock, stock, and barrel. Verse 9. And he says, okay, what is the church? Not the Jews. Let all the nations be gathered together. Not his children and daughters anymore, but all the nations. Oh, when is that going to happen? Look at the headlines. It doesn't look like any time soon. But here it is, Isaiah. I got to meet his mom. I just got to meet her. Let the people, you know, maybe there's no coffee in heaven. What am I going to do there? Let the people be assembled. So wherever we get to gather together, and we're in an assembly, we used to call this assembly. We wouldn't call it a church. We're going to the assembly. We're very careful about our words in the early days in the 70s. Who among you can declare this and show us former things? That's an interesting word, declare, because that's overused today by the church, and we'll get back to that. Let them bring out their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is the truth. I've been preaching on the truth for a couple of weeks now, and I understand that the truth is not so easily found, but one you have to purpose in your heart to know, because we always drift away from it. It's like we are a vessel with a lot of leaks, and by the time we get home, it's all gone. Well, God doesn't want that. He wants us to be witnesses. Witnesses are those who say, it is the Lord. Verse 10, you are my witness, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand, not just believe blindly, but understand that I am he. Before me, oh, God never gets tired of saying this. Well, you may get tired of reading it or hearing it, but God never gets tired of saying it. Before me, there is no God formed, nor shall there be after me. Give up. We don't need another Jesus. We don't need another man like Jesus. Oh, if our pastor was only more charismatic. You don't need a more charismatic pastor. You have a pastor. His name is Jesus. And he's called the senior pastor, by the way. Do we have a senior pastor? Yes, we do. His name is Jesus, my King. Verse 11, I am the Lord. He really likes him, that name, the Lord. Besides me, there is no salvation. There's no Savior. There's no way out. The floods, the fire will consume you. Verse 12. I have declared and saved. I have proclaimed. Now, let me stop there and talk about, we hear these words a lot in some churches nowadays, the declare and proclaimers. So they'll get up and say, I declare, I proclaim, the hurricane that's going across Orlando will not go towards Orlando, but it'll turn around and dissolve or go back. I declare it, I proclaim it. And that's actually not a good thing to do because the Lord proclaims and declares. Verse 12, I declare, says the Lord, I save, I have proclaimed. And he does it according to the purposes and the authority of the Almighty God in heaven, not to the purposes of man. Let me say that again, not according to the purposes of men. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. You will go through trials and tribulation. But again and again he says, fear not, for I am with you. And there was no foreign God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. Why are you a witness? Because you know there was no other God that helped you. You called on your mom, your dad. You called on your friends, your neighbors. And none of them could help you but the Lord God. And when you call them, ask them to pray to the Lord God Almighty for his salvation, not for their prayers only. Amen? There's no foreign God among you. You don't have somebody who is your special prayer warrior that's going to be with you. And he or she might be, but that's not what's going to save you. The Lord says, I am God. Well, okay. If that's true, I know where I have to go. I have to go to the cross. If I have sin, I lay those sins before you, Lord, and they're erased because of the waters of baptism and what you've done on the cross. And they're not only erased, but the Holy Spirit comes and fills us with wisdom from above, not just knowledge, but wisdom. If you want knowledge, go to Google. And sometimes it's very wrong, by the way. Yeah. You go to Google or you go to your computer knows all things, and then suddenly it's erased and it's gone to the cloud. I said, so much for my computer, it's not a god to me. Thankfully, everybody had cell phones, had Bibles on them at the party last night, and I was like, wow, where'd that come from? Where did that come from? It came from the Lord. Verse 13, indeed, before the day was. What? Any day. Before the day was, the first day, the last day, before the day was, I am he. What do you mean? I am. That's basically, he says, I am the Lord. And there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. No one can deliver anything that's captured in his hand. Somehow you can't be taken away. I work, and who will reverse it? When the Lord does a work, there's nothing you can do, proclaim, or declare to make it different. Some people will have a problem with that. Who can reverse it? No one. It says, Lord, we pray as your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Verse 14. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the one that's going to save you, the one who traded you. What did he trade us for, I wonder? Or what did he trade for our place? All of our old nature. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Boy, that's America. Stand up and be counted. What are we? We're free now. We can worship any way we want. We can pray any way we want. Well, your Redeemer is the Lord God. Pray according to his will. The Holy One of Israel. So he goes back. See, he talks about the church. And he goes back and says, I haven't forgotten Israel. So, yeah, we're replacing Israel. No, no. Oh, Holy One of Israel, too. For your sake, I will send to Babylon and bring out them as fugitives, the Chaldeans, who rejoice in their ships. And ships were the big battle center for the Vikings and for the Spanish and for the English. And for the United States, when we put an aircraft carrier next to Lebanon, everybody like backs away. They're 16-inch guns, by the way, have a 20-mile accuracy, not just lobbing shells, but pinpoint accuracy at 20 miles. And their shells are 2,000 pounds, almost the weight of your car. If you have a little car, it's definitely more than your car. And they're throwing them 20 miles. That ship parks next to you like the Harry Truman is right now. That's a 16-inch gun. People back away. Well, people take real comfort when that happened. They're like, oh, our friends are here with their ships. And Jesus says, no. They rejoice in their ships, but that's not it. Verse 15, I'm the Lord, your Holy One. Not just Israel, your Holy One. The Holy One of Israel? No. Your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, makes a path through mighty waters. Now that was certainly seen when Israel, the Lord delivered Israel out of Egypt, a way through the sea and a path through the many waters. But he's doing it today too. To me, the quagmire of what a sea can do to a mighty ship is still out there. No matter how mighty your ship is, if the oceans start to really show their strength and force, there's no hope. Verse 17, who brings forth the chariot and horse? He's talking about war machines, the army and the power. Who does this? They shall lie together. They shall not rise. They are extinguished, past tense. They're quenched like a wick. All the armies that anybody can bring against us are nothing to the will and purposes of God. When I read the news, I keep that in mind. I love it. Okay, this is nothing. Like a candle, just snuff it out. Doesn't mean anything. It says something in the next few verses. I don't have much farther to go, so stay with me. It says, do not remember the former things. And we sing that song, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. A lot of prophecies I've heard like that. You know, don't consider the past. But God is going to do a new thing. In the next verse. Even now it's going to spring forth. Shall you not know it? Now, that's an interesting verse because the disciples actually knew to expect the Christ when they saw him, they knew him. They didn't understand it all, but somehow they knew it. look, Andrew goes to Peter and says, we found him. Really? Yeah, come on, follow me. Not only that, he says, I will make a road in the wilderness. The wilderness is a desert place. The river's in a desert. So places where they're not supposed to be and can never be, they'll be there. Who would have thought Lake Katrine would ever have a church like this? Whoever even knew Lake Katrine existed? You know, I remember once the town supervisor was at a speech and the VA was putting their clinic there. And he said, yeah, this is our place in Kingston. And he turns and says, no, this is Lake Katrine. Where's that? It's almost like, can anything ever good come out of Bethlehem? Oh, you better believe it. You better believe it. But there's a part of us that wants to believe and hold on to the old nature. And that's really what it's talking about. So let's read it over again. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. Behold, I'm going to do a new thing, even in you, where you didn't have any talent at all. I'm going to give you a talent that you never knew, a new name you never knew, a purpose you may not have been expecting, a divine appointment on your next trip, and you stop in the airport and you sit next to a complete stranger, and suddenly God is there. Now, how do I know that this is towards the church today, or the Gentiles? Because here it is, verse 20. The beasts of the fields will honor me. That includes every nation. There are some real beastie people out there. The jackals and the ostriches. People have no understanding. Jackals are just followers of a pack. Ostriches, I don't know if they really stick their head in the sand, but if they did, they're just trying to plot out what's going on. Because I give waters in the wilderness. Who does it? You? No. And the rivers in the desert. God does. And he says, I give drink to my people, my chosen. And it's you. Not Israel. You, the church, and Israel too. Because he did give them a drink. Now, drinking the waters, living waters, is something that doesn't stop when you first get saved. Aren't you glad when you come to worship the Lord? It's like drinking fresh water. You've been drinking stale water all week, and now you're drinking fresh water right from the throne of grace. Right? When you get to heaven, it's even after he says, I will make all things new. Read the next verse. He says, I will provide for you living water. The water never goes away. Never. After eternity, it's still there. So that's a very important thing for God to say. I will give drink to my people, my chosen. So it's interesting that he chose water and drink. Something that's very personal. When you drink my first glass of orange juice in the morning, you know, I like to feel the sugar on the front of my tongue. And then maybe as I lap it, I feel a little bit of the cold coming down my esophagus. And it seems like I can taste the orange all the way from Florida, all the way down into my gut. Very personal experience. Now, you never eat like that, I know, but if you watch the food channels, you realize the judges do exactly that. They're trying to get all the taste possible at the back of their mouth, the side of their mouth, whatever, tip of their tongue, and all that kind of stuff. This is a very personal thing. And it brings life to them. In reality, your cells rejoice that you're getting water. You don't believe it, go out in the hot sun for a while. Your cells rejoice. Oh, this is so good. I can remember delivering papers in a paper route, and I would get hot sunny day, and it was already 90 degrees, and I said, when I get home, I'm going to have, and I would think about what I'm going to have. And I could have stopped at the store and got a soda, but I said, no, when I get home, I'm going to have. And I would think about a milkshake or a glass of water or a glass of orange juice or orange juice with an egg in it or whatever, of whatever your favorite drink might be, and I would think about it. Oh, Peter, God made me this way, so you can blame him. And when I had it and when I drank it, I knew that I was drinking life to myself. And when I read these verses, I understand that God wants us to really know this, not as some concept doctrine, but to know it in body and soul and spirit, that his water refreshes us, yes, in our body and our soul, but most importantly, in our spirit, that we come and drink that living water, and our spirit is encouraged in the Lord. When the angels come to minister to Jesus in the desert, it was the spirit that ministered to the Lord, not the touch of the angels or the voice of the angel, although I'm certain it was welcome. After listening to the dark angel of Satan tempt you in all ways that he could have at that time, it would have been a refreshment to hear the voice of the Father through them. Indeed it was. And then from there, he goes right into ministry. So wonderful. Goes into the Beatitudes, in fact. Verse 21, last verse. This people I have formed, what people? People of Israel and the church. I have formed for myself. And they, plural, shall declare my prayers. You want to know what we're declaring? We're not going to declare the purposes of God necessarily, but we're going to declare the praise and the praise that comes from the Spirit. We're saying, "This is, I'm giving it to you. I don't know who's hearing it, but we're making a declaration. We worship our God. We're declaring it. And that is the witness before the world. The other witness is the fact how we love one another. Is that right? So they'll know you're Christians by your love for each other. Because what our love for the Lord is so strong, it spills out. We can't contain it. You know, I look at you guys and I just say, "Wow, I really love that smile. I really love that person." God calls you his. No one can take you away from him. You are not born of men, nor the will of the flesh, but you're born of God. Amen. So, Father, we thank you today. We can honor you in spirit and in truth, in our worship and our words. And I'm privileged to bring the Word of God, because without the Word of God, there's no anchor for our soul. It's like the truth unblemished. It doesn't have a story with it. It's the Word of God. So when I read it, it's not something, my interpretation, it is the Word of God. And when Isaiah speaks the Lord as the Lord, it is the Lord. Wow. We just heard the Lord this morning. Wow. Thank you, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that you would speak to us through the day, the week, and the month to come. A lot of things that are going to happen and some that won't happen, that should have, it seemingly. But you are the Lord God of heaven, the one who has made us and formed this earth from its inception. Before the first day, he was already here. Amen. Before 1776, he was here. Amen.